This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
...the Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. And once again, I am not here with my little brother, Jeffrey, but the perennial...
Perennial, is that it?
The regular co-host, George Jensen.
Yeah, well, it's good to be here, Fred, and hola, Tucson.
And we are...
I have to keep stealing Jeff's tagline, so yeah, sooner or later it'll become mine.
Yeah, it will. So, and we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture... make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, George.
And it is gosh darn wonderful. And it's June and it feels summer-ish.
Oh, man. This is my favorite.
I know.
Time
you really, really year. Get into this.
It's funny. Your wife, your beautiful bride, Jennifer, and you were up in Sedona last weekend.
It's true.
And I hung out, watered your plants a couple times.
We appreciate it.
And Jennifer sent me a note saying, is it hot down there? And I was like, well, you know. That's a relative term. For me,
for
no.
You, not so hot. For but us.
For your plants, maybe. It was hot.
We had a 43-degree night in Sedona last weekend, so things are still very very nice, although
yeah, see,
a
that's,
bit smoky.
That's hibernation weather for me.
Yeah, that's true. You curl up. For us, that's just great. That's throw the windows open.
So. Wait, we want people to come visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. And they could even subscribe to this Tome of Wisdom and Entertainment on iTunes. Now, George, you know, since you're on the show, we like to plug, or I like to plug, fact that you are our web designer.
I'm the web guy for the Fred and Jeff Show. Yeah, I'm a software designer by trade, and I mostly do a lot of fairly custom boutique-level database software for different enterprises. But I do the occasional website for friends, family, and existing clients. So I built the Fred and Jeff .com website. It's a great website in that it's really just it's sort of a transparent gateway to all the old Fred and Jeff shows, as well as there's always an article on what's coming up next.
Absolutely. So, now, one of the things, let's talk about, you did a really massive build recently with Sarcef.
I did, and we had him as a guest on the
show.
Yeah,
the co-host back then, and that was with the Southern Arizona
Research Science and Engineering Fair. Now, at times, it's the Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair, so they're going through some identity shifting. So at any given moment, I can't tell you exactly which it is, but Sarcef is a really wonderful thing.
It's always Sarcef.
Sarcef is the way to go. And it's sarcef.org, by the way, if you'd like to check it out. Sarcef is an enormous regional science fair. It covers all of Southern Arizona, and I think this year we had a little over 1,700 projects. 1,700 to 1,800 is not unusual. We, I believe, had 5 students and their projects go to the International Science Fair. So Sarcef is one of about 332 science fairs across the country that is eligible to send students to the International Science and Engineering Fair, the Intel Science Fair. And I had a couple students go there and do very, very well. We had several middle schoolers go to the iSweep in Houston, which they did very, very well as also. So
and we
have a disproportionate number of folks that go to the International Fair from this location, and that really says a lot about Tucson.
Absolutely, and I actually went down with a tape recorder during setup for the...
You did a little Fred on the Street interviews.
Yeah, and those kids are geniuses, man.
Yeah, it's kind of intimidating at times.
It is. I mean, they sit there, and they're explaining their project to you, and they're like... And I was sitting there just dumbfounded.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily I have... A few of my neurons are still firing in sequence, so I got some of it.
So you'd like to think.
Yeah, so I'd like to think. But these are, like, really...
They really are brilliant. And what's nice is the fair is open to the public. It's every March. So...
And these kids come from all over the community, all sorts of... You know, it's a hugely diverse background.
Oh, every background, every demographic, every socioeconomic level. It's quite extraordinary.
And it's wonderful to see our kids so engaged in... exploration.
Yeah. So for listeners out there, again, check it out at sarcef.org. And if you'd be interested in being a volunteer or perhaps a judge, we would certainly welcome your involvement in Sarcef.
Cool. Well, speaking of science, one of my favorite things, the Southern Arizona Rocketry Association, which is SARA,
mm-hmm.
and they're not changing their name.
No.
They're having their monthly rocket launch on Jeff's birthday, actually, June 21st.
Oh, fabulous. Are you going to go out?
Maybe.
Because you're a rocketeer.
You know, I am in the middle of a build with a rocket that's it's designed after a Sidewinder missile. It's actually a scale model of a Sidewinder missile.
Fantastic. And don't we build Sidewinders in Tucson? Or I think we're AMRAMs and Tomahawks, maybe.
But we did do some Sidewinder.
Did we?
I'm pretty sure. But if that's built by the 21st or completed by the 21st, then I'm taking it out there. The Tucson Pops tonight over at the Demeester Center or Demeester Outdoor Performance Center at Reed Park is Jack Newbeck and Crystal Stark, featured artists with the Tucson Pops Orchestra, led by Laszlo Verish, which Jeff and I love to call the Zumba King.
The Zumba King, I got
so, it. You know, Jack Newbeck is a fixture around Tucson. He's just a highly talented guy, wonderful vocalist. And he's being joined by an American Idol finalist who is Crystal Stark. And that'll be a fabulous, fabulous event that's at Demeester tonight. If you want to go, there's also a big raffle. If you want to go to see the Boston Pops 4th of July celebration for 2015, they have a raffle. It's only $20 ahead. It includes travel vouchers, hotel accommodations, transport to the hotel, and cash.
Excellent. You got to get your name in on that one.
Absolutely. Now, more science stuff over on your side.
I have some science stuff, too. Messages to Bennu. Bennu is it's a project of the Planetary Society in cooperation with our own fine folks here at the University of Arizona, the OSIRIS-REx project. It's a partnership, NASA actually chose the U of A to lead its New Frontiers mission. So OSIRIS-REx is Origin Spectral Interpretations Resource Identification Security Regolith Explorer. Say that three times fast.
You read well, George.
Thank you. I'm doing better. We're sending a capsule.
Capsule.
We're sending a capsule to and from Bennu. Bennu is a asteroid?
Yes.
Circling the, I had to make sure I'm not, you know, I had to make sure I said that right.
Bennu is an African elephant that's cruising around outer space.
Yeah, exactly. So cruising around our solar system. So we're sending up a craft to meet it. And not only will the craft go there, it will send a capsule back, and you can get your name on the cap on both capsules, and you have done so. I'm staring at your certificate of participation, Frederick Gabriel Ronstadt, certificate 31151, and you talk me into doing this too. So my name's going to Bennu as well. And if you're out there listening and you say to yourself, you know, I'd like to have my name go to Bennu and have it come back in the capsule, you can do so at planetary.org. Planetary.org.
Yeah, you know,
send a message to Bennu.
Now, you know, the danger of that is when the aliens get a hold of the
they're going to have a list, and your name will be on a list. My name is on. I used to joke that my name's not on a list. I'm the reason they have a list. Oh, I have one other thing that is totally not science related. I mean, totally. The Gaslight Theater is finishing up its run of Beach Blanket Bebop.
Woohoo!
It started April 3rd, and it goes till next week. June 8th is the last performance. It's summertime, and Surfside, California means hitting the beach, catching a wave, or a visit to the boardwalk. It's the 60s, and the sun always shines, and the surf is always up. Dark clouds are forming on the horizon. If you have not been to the Gaslight Theater lately, it's a fabulous time. If you've never been, it needs to be something you do.
That's a Tucson bucket list item right there.
It is, absolutely. Have dinner at Little Anthony's before the show. Go see it. It is terrific. I have not yet seen this one, but I've had friends who said it is fabulous.
Yes, it is. So, all right, so we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a really cool organization that's been challenging young men and women, and helping them gain higher heights. So
fabulous.
We'll be right back on the Fred and Jeff Show. This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I'm not here with my little brother Jeffrey, but I am here with our
perennial guest host, George Johnson.
I was going to say favorite guest host.
Oh, thank you. Sucking up will get you everywhere.
That means a cigar after the show.
That means a cigar after the show.
So,
George, I thought you were buying a cigar and lunch after the show.
Well, that's true. That is true. So, George, George is our webmaster for the Fred and Jeff Show.
Yes, I am.
That's his. He's a boutique software developer.
Software designer. I build custom databases. If there's not an off-the-shelf database to meet your organization's needs, I might be your choice. But custom software, I mean, it really is boutique. It's tailor-made, and that brings with it some pluses. You get exactly what you want. Brings with it some minuses. So it's certainly more expensive. But
if you want to get hold of you, all they have to do is go to georgejenson.com.
GeorgeJenson.com. There's also a link on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Very nice.
Website.
Very good. So with us today in studio is one of my colleagues, former state legislator, the Honorable Larry Bahill. Larry, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome, Larry.
George.
So, you know, we're going to get, you know, I called you up because I wanted to talk about something very specific that you're involved with. But, you know, during the break, we were talking and wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about you and some of your activities, some of your shenanigans up at the state legislature. And one of the things that we, Jeff and I, like talking about, and George as well, is sort of trying to pull some of this oral history out of, you know, the old duffers hanging around the community who, you know, have great stories and nobody really ever gets a chance to hear them. So you know, you were in the state legislature in the 70s.
Yes, I was.
And you did, what, 8 years?
Yes.
Public service? Now, the legislature back then, if I recall correctly, and I was a little tyke at the time, seemed to be a lot more congenial than nowadays.
Well, we got along a lot better. There wasn't as much partisan bickering at the time. For instance, one of my very good friends was Jim Skelly. And Jim was to the right, and I was kind of in the big mushy middle. That's when the Democrats had a big mushy middle. And there were several things that we disagreed on, and there are a lot of things we did agree on. But we'd get out on the floor, and he'd start off on his, and I'd say, well, Mr. Skelly, I can tell that your friend Attila the Hun has been giving you direction. And he'd stop a second, and then he'd come right on back, and he'd say, well, Mr. Bahill, I see that your friends in Red Square are giving you direction. And we'd go back and forth and spar over this thing, and then we'd walk off the floor. I'd slap him in the shoulder, and I'd say, that's a pretty good shot you took at me. He says, yeah, you took a good one at me. Let's go have lunch. And somebody would say, you mean after all of that, and you guys are still going to talk to each other? I says, that was politics. This is friendship. And he was a very good friend, still is today, even though politically we're on opposite sides.
You don't think that's the same today?
I know it's not the same today. I watched them in action up there. Mm-hmm. And I see what happens after the fact. And I talk with some of the legislators. I'm over there on a fairly regular basis because I'm a lobbyist for the American Legion. And so I'm watching this happen in the committees, and I'm watching this happen on the floor of the House. And it is nasty.
What do you think's changed? Because you've been in Arizona since 51, is that correct?
That's correct. I was 8 years old when I got here.
Gotcha. So, but still, you've seen Arizona through the last 63 years, and I agree with you. I think it's changed nationwide, but can you put your finger on it? What's changed?
I think I started seeing it in the 1980s when we started electing single-issue candidates. And I'm there to get the Equal Rights Amendment passed, and that's the only thing I care about. I'm there to lower taxes, and that's the only thing I care about. I'm there to stop abortion, and that's the only thing I care about. And we start getting this single-issue politician being elected in both parties.
All sorts of silos everywhere.
Yes. And so they have nothing in common. And
well, I'm an outlier of the highest stripe because I'm a libertarian. And my fear is they only have one thing in common. They both want more power.
That may be part of the problem. And it's the power that both sides want. They want to control your life.
That's all they can agree on.
And no, they can't agree on that because it's on different issues.
They want to control it in different ways.
In different ways, that's correct.
But if it means more power heading to the central authority, that they have common ground on is my take on it.
Yeah. We had Larry Hawk and myself, and we were what were called seatmates. We sat right next to each other, and we would co-sponsor legislation. Back and forth. Mm-hmm. He'd come over to me and he'd say, I need some votes out of your caucus. Can you put your name on this? Sure, Larry, I'll take care of it. And I says, well, Larry, I've got this bill and it's good for your district. So how about it? And we had no problem doing that. And Hawk and I are still very good friends on there. So I see this going on, but you don't see it now.
Well, it's interesting because you made the comment about saying you got direction from Matilda Hahn and you still got your direction from Red Square. And it seems and I used to enjoy seeing that kind of banter because it was congenial. But now it's vitriolic and it's more, back then it was more of a tease and now it's more, attack.
It's nasty. It's meant in a nasty fashion. Back then it was not.
Well, back then, it sounds like you had respect for each other as human beings, and it sounds to me more like today what's left is contempt for each other.
And we had a lot of fun with each other, mm-hmm. and we'd spend a lot of time outside of the legislature together. We'd go down to Oaxaca, and we'd have a beer after the session was out. I don't see them doing that nowadays. Everybody has their own agenda, and they don't want to hear anything else.
Well, I think, too, that, we were talking offline, and we'll bring this up, but in order to get elected, you have to build a coalition. You have to get voters attracted to you, and you're going to lose your base or your base voters if they perceive in any way, shape, or form that you're going to extend an olive branch to the other side.
Well, I think you're seeing that, and we have the RINOs, Republican in name only. Mm-hmm. We have on the other side the Demos, and they're Democrat in name only. Mm-hmm. The Dinos is what they call them. And they have eliminated the Democratic side. They've eliminated the conservatives and the moderates. On the Republican side, they have eliminated the liberals and the moderates. Mm-hmm. And so you have on the Republican side
partisan
purity. Their ultimate is on the right side. On the Democratic side, they're all on the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've gotten rid of the middle. And is it hit that point now where independent voters registration has taken over and is in the lead now?
It has. And in fact, there are more independents and nonpartisans in Arizona than either of the other two parties.
That gives me small amounts of hope. And as a libertarian, you really never have any hope. It's always damage control. So.
Now, this is an interesting conversation, and regular listeners of the Fred and Jeff Show may be a little bit confused right now because we shy away from politics. We shy away from controversy. We shy away from, all those things that we want to celebrate, the great things about Tucson and Southern Arizona. But there's a method to the madness here. As we talk about the political environment that we are engaged in currently. And it will become clear in the next couple segments. But Larry, we have a couple minutes before the end of the bottom of the hour break. You got here when you were 8 years old. Where did you come from?
Came from Washington, Pennsylvania. And my dad didn't like the snow.
That's probably the only folks who have come out here because they didn't like the weather.
I've never heard that story before.
Yeah, they had 48 inches of snow on the ground and another 20 more inches hit. And my dad says, we're out of here. And so we came to Arizona because he had been here during the war. He came through here on a troop train and stopped down here at the station and actually went across to the old MacArthur Hotel and had a beer. And it was in January, and he liked being in short sleeves. And he remembered it. So, so in 1951, here we are.
Where'd you live? Where'd you go to school?
I lived on 22nd and Country Club that entire time. I went to Robinson School for a while. I went to Keene. I went to St. Ambrose and then to Sell Point.
Fantastic.
All right. So we are going to be back in a couple of minutes with more of the Friend Jeff Show. Now, keep just remember, politics can be good. You know, the future of our community will rely on the health of our political system. So we'll see you all on the next segment of the Friend Jeff Show.
All right.
Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother. Rap on. Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, diminution.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I'm joined by our perennial co-host, George Jensen.
It's good to be here, Fred. I'm enjoying myself as always.
Yeah, you know, we never identify exactly where Jeffrey is when he misses
his shows. Jeff is always in an undisclosed location, a bunker nearby, probably.
Yeah, undisclosed underground bunker.
Yeah.
So, and actually, I think in the month of June, he'll be gone several times.
Well, maybe I'll be back again, or maybe I'll have some of your other interesting friends.
Well, you know what? We actually, I was talking to Margot Susco, who owns Hydra Leather down.
Yeah, we were down there. We were together because I bought a shirt.
Oh, yeah. That was a smoking cool shirt you got.
My wife and your girlfriend applauded and said you had to buy it.
So. Oh, yeah. But she has a store down in Bisbee. And so we were talking about just, you know, putting everything in a van and traveling down to Bisbee and doing
a remote from Bisbee?
Well, taping a few shows and, you know, doing stuff from down there.
The last time I was in Bisbee, I was with a bunch of friends and fraternity brothers, and we drank a lot of beer.
Yeah, your pictures are still up everywhere. I understand. So
we were heroes at the American Legion post. They sold more liquor that night than they'd sold the entire month.
Oh, made their budget.
We did.
All right. So
I was actually with one of Larry's sons. So
well, just about to introduce the Honorable Larry Bayhill, former state legislator. And actually, you were also a county official for a while, weren't you?
I was the director of elections for Pima County for 13 years.
And that's when all the corruption started.
For another seven.
All the corruption started back then?
No corruption in Pima County. None.
What kind of ballots were we using back then?
At that time, we were using a punch card ballot.
The punch card, yeah.
And
you know, this is a true story. So in 1997, when I was elected first time city council, was the first time we ever heard the term or had issues with the hanging chads. And it was very interesting. A guy named Leo Pilichowski ran the numbers and discovered some statistical anomalies. And they went through and hand-checked every single ballot and found that there were pregnant chads that didn't get cleared off the punch card. And I think that was probably the last or one of the last times the punch card system was used in Pima County.
It was used all the way up until about 2000. Although we did start switching over to the Mark Sense in the 98 election. But in yours, there were some chads that weren't totally punched
right
in that race. And although the city was running that, they were running it on our equipment.
Right. Yeah, that was a very interesting educational experience. And they actually hand-counted every single card, and they had three observers at every pile. As they're going through them, it's a really cool thing. And then, obviously, the issue with Florida a couple of years later.
That's exactly.
Is anybody still using it?
There are some jurisdictions that are using punch card, not very many.
I wouldn't think. And but, and we, our system, the Mark Sense, we're good with that for a good long time, you think?
I think they're looking at other systems on the thing.
I'm nervous about anything electronic. Being a software designer, any system is hackable. I always like to have that printed.
New things are coming online, but the parties generally are looking and saying, we want – some type of paper.
We want to be able to go back and audit. Yeah, because,
yeah.
I mean, they're talking about doing online elections now and letting people vote online. Color me fearful.
Well, they started that back in Sandia in the 1980s. They started experimenting with online voting and just call in. And there are ways of doing it, but, again, it's – how do you verify?
Well, yeah. You want a system that's got layers and layers of potential of security to foil the, you know, because people are going to cheat.
So we were talking in the previous segment about the political history of our great state, sort of the camaraderie that existed back in the 70s and how it sort of...
the nature of how politics has changed.
Yeah, it sort of devolved to what we see today, a lot of fighting, acrimony and that kind of thing. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're not typically a political program, but Larry is here to talk about
politics at the younger level.
Well, but something that hopefully over time will get us back on some kind of a better track, because, you know, we want to train our young folks how to be congenial, how to work in a system and, you know, build coalitions and become public servants for their communities. So
cut to the punchline, Fred.
The punchline is Larry is like one of the bigwigs with Boys State and Girls State. And you actually had a start with this great organization back in your days as a legislator.
In 1975, the American Legion invited me to come to Arizona Boys State and to present to the boys the Arizona legislature and tell them how the Arizona legislature worked. And so I went up in 1975. They invited me back in 76, 77. And we have a saying in Arizona Boys State, you keep coming back until you get it right. This will be my 40th year at Arizona Boys State. And I have helped out in Arizona Girls State. Boys State started in Arizona in 1947, and we've been at the NAU campus that entire time. Girls State started in 1952 or 53, and they are at the University of Arizona campus. And we're normally during the same week. So
250 miles is a safe amount to keep the boys and girls apart, you think?
Keep them apart. That's exactly what
that
we
age,
need to do.
Not necessarily the worst idea I can think of.
Now, let's take a step back real quick. So this is an American Legion program.
That's correct.
Let's talk about the American Legion real quick and then talk about how they developed Boys State and Girls State.
The American Legion is a veterans organization that started off in 1919 in France, when all of the GIs were being discharged and being released from the First World War. And they decided, well, we'd like to have some camaraderie, and we'd also like somebody to look out for our benefits and what we are as veterans. And so they formed the American Legion at that time. They came back to the country, and they started forming American Legion posts across the entire country. So each of the states is a district, and each state runs its own operations. They run their own posts in there, and then we have a national headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, and they kind of run all of those aspects. We have 2.5 million veterans that are members of the American Legion. We also will have 600,000 or 700,000 in the American Legion Auxiliary. We have the American Legion Riders. We have Sons of the American Legion and others.
Is there an affiliation with the VFW?
There is no affiliation with the VFW other than being veterans.
Mm-hmm.
and we support the VFW. They support us.
Yeah, Veterans of Foreign Wars, by the way, for those.
And we don't have to have been involved in a foreign war
to
be an American Legion. You have to have been involved overseas in a foreign war for the VFW. The American Legion, you have to have been in during certain periods of combat, during the First World War, during the Second World War, during Korea, during Vietnam, and then starting in 1990, since 1990, with the first Gulf War
Desert Storm
until today.
Well, since 1990, we've pretty much been one form of war or another.
That's
somewhere
correct.
On the planet.
That's correct.
So what was the American Legion thinking? How did they develop this whole boys' state, girls' state program?
The American Legion is, you know, a very patriotic group, and they have several things that they're looking for. And it's one of them is child welfare, and to make sure that the kids of this country are taken care of. And they have various programs in child welfare. And one of them is the Boys State program. We also have shooting sports. We have the oratorical contest and other things that we are involved in with youngsters so that we are teaching them Americanism, democracy, respect for the American flag, and respect for our government, our form of government. And so in 1936, the state of Illinois set up a program for boys between their junior and senior year. And they would take them into a campus. They would have people teaching them about democracy and why democracy was important and what the attributes of democracy were. We started doing that in Arizona in 1947, and we've gone on from there. So each year, we'll have 320 to 350 boys that gather in Flagstaff, Arizona. They are selected from all of the high schools in Arizona, anywhere from one boy on up to four boys from the various high schools. The American Legion posts pay for their room and board and other things, transportation and that, to get them up there.
Now, is it all juniors, seniors, or just seniors?
They're all coming into their senior year. They have to have finished their junior year and going into their senior year.
Excellent.
Now, we have started with homeschooled kids and charter schools.
Terrific.
So they're all involved the same way. But again, it's between those junior and senior year.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So we need to take a last break of the show. We'll be right back with Larry Bayhill talking about boys and girls state. So keep tuned in.
Well, I talk about boys.
Yeah, boys.
Don't you know I mean boys?
Yeah, boys.
Well, I talk about boys now.
Yeah, boys.
Ah, boys.
Yeah, yeah, boys.
Well, I talk about boys now.
Yeah, boys.
What a bottle of joy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, guys.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my not little brother, George.
I am not so little. And
But you are my brother.
We are definitely brothers. That's George Jensen.
and George is our perennial co-host when Jeff... has to go, you know, he's had too many cervezas the night before, so...
Yeah, so then he has to go off to an undisclosed location.
Undisclosed
underground bunker.
So we've been talking about Boy State, and Larry Bayhill is here, former state legislator.
Yeah, and Fred, were you in Boy State when you were in...
I was not nominated, and this is a...
Yeah, don't get to run for it. You're chosen, are you not?
You are chosen. This is a very elite, I would say it's an elite program,
yeah,
Larry.
But number two son of yours is going, is that correct?
He is going, and
so, thus the interest at the Fred and Jeff Show level.
Well, yeah. You know, I told McCoy that I'd work you over, Larry. because he wants to go to the national level. But I'm just saying, you know, just saying.
So sucking Larry, up early and often.
Larry Bahill is here. He's with the American Legion, who created Boys State back in the 30s.
That's correct.
And, 30s nationwide. That's right, Illinois.
And we were discussing beforehand that, you know, these young men and ladies with Girl State, they're chosen between their junior and senior year in high school. The boys go to NAU. The girls stay down here at the University of Arizona. And I'm just, as a side note, very happy you guys have totally neglected Tempe Normal in any of this this stuff going on.
We have good sense.
So we have all these kids. They're chosen by their schools. They're involved in this program. There's a really nice orientation that you all do. But then there's a bus ride up to NAU. And apparently these kids just sit. They're very nice and quiet.
They're quiet. They
read books.
They either read calmly or
they listen to their iPods.
They look at the scenery.
These boys get hyped up, and we start that with the introduction out at the American Legion Post about 3 weeks before. And we give them a little orientation of what's going to happen up there. We used to provide 8 buses around the entire state, and they picked them up from every place in the state of Arizona and transported them to Flagstaff. In the early 90s, we could no longer afford that. So now they're on their own to get there. Well, we have an individual here in Tucson who really cares about the program, and so he sponsors a bus. And that has some
positive political effects for the Tucson caucus, doesn't it?
It certainly does, because they come down there on Sunday morning. They get on the bus, and all of them have met each other at the meeting that we had a couple of weeks before, and they know what's expected of them. So they start making deals.
They have 5 hours to build their
To build their following.
Coalition, yeah.
Well, I'm going to run for governor. Well, I wanted to run for governor. Well, I'll tell you what. You run for Secretary of State, and I'll support you for that, and you support me for governor. Okay, I'll do that. And they shake hands on it, and they get up there, and all of a sudden, they have 20 or 30 votes before they even started, and they're going to be running. And
more importantly,
they've got
20 or 30 votes, but they've got 20 or 30 campaigners.
That's right. And they're all of different political parties because they don't know what their political party is yet.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get to Flagstaff and they check in, we say, okay, you're a nationalist and you're a federalist and you're a nationalist and you're a federalist. Well, they've already made their deals on
that. So Tucson Trump's party?
And it does.
Nice.
Southern Arizona Trump's party. Southern. And, I mean, we bring the kids in from St. David, from Tombstone, Bisbee, Nogales. They get on that bus also. And so it's Southern Arizona versus the world. And some of the deals they make influence a lot of those elections that we see up there.
Nice.
And, of course, when we put these kids into a room together, this kid comes from Flagstaff and this kid comes from Nogales. They don't know each other. And they're of two opposite political parties. And we tell them, you're going to get along with each other, even though you're of opposite political parties. Yep. And so we have 12 cities. We have 4 counties. And all of the elected officers that you would have in the state of Arizona that are open for election.
Now, this is truly a boys state. It's you know, it's, even though it's on campus, on a small campus, they are essentially as if they were all thrown up into the state legislature and they have to take their various positions.
That's correct. And they have to run for office. They start running for mayor and city council. And the next night we have a primary election to eliminate and get down to one person per party per office. And the next day, we will have a general election. And they start passing ordinances at the city level. They start passing laws at the state level. We have a court system. We have a police force. The police force will issue tickets, citations to the boys up there. You're running down the hall, that's speeding. Go see the judge. And they can ask for a jury trial, and they'll have a jury trial of their peers. And we have a law school where we train about half the boys in law, and they become lawyers. And so they can go in and defend you in the court.
Or prosecute you.
And, well, that's the county attorney. You have to win election to county attorney's office.
Very nice.
And so the county attorney will be do the prosecuting on that. We have a legislative school, which I teach, and about half of the boys will come to the legislative school. And we show them how the system operates. We show them where a bill comes from. Where do the ideas come from with these bills? And let me tell you, these kids are really sharp. They start writing bills, and their legislature starts passing bills, and it goes on to the governor. And then the governor will look at it, and he either signs it or vetoes it. And then we'll have an attempt to override the governor's veto. And every now and then, somebody will get mad at one of the elected officials, so they'll circulate recall petitions on that person. One time, we recalled the entire Supreme Court.
Wow.
And so now these kids are devastated that they've been thrown out of office. So we called the governor in and we said, Governor, you have the right to have a committee review this on pardons and parole. And so he slipped this committee through the Senate, who had just voted to throw these kids out but didn't realize what the impact was. They passed the committee, and the committee gave all of the Supreme Court justices a pardon, and the governor signed off on the pardon, and the governor reappointed all of them to the Supreme Court. But they had learned that the system works, and there are more ways than one to skin a cat.
That's awesome. You know, I got to tell you, my son, we went to the orientation, and we were driving there, and he's like, I don't know, I was nominated. I don't know if I really want to do this. And after the presentation and after reading the book, he is so stoked. And he still doesn't know what he wants to do up at Boise State, because he's like, I could do this. If I was a police officer, I could do this. If I was governor, I could do this. If I was in the legislature, I mean, he's going wild. His imagination is just incredibly sparked by
the power he can seize.
Well, by the anticipation of this event.
And we bring in the governor of the state of Arizona will come up from time to time and speak to the boys. The secretary of state comes up nearly every year and speaks to the boys. We'll have a chairman of the Board of Supervisors. We'll have a mayor from one of the cities in Tucson comes up. And they tell these kids how the system really operates. And then the kids are seeing how it operates by being there and doing it themselves.
That's great.
And that's what it is democracy by practice.
That's awesome. Now, a couple kids get the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. later in the summer.
That's correct. We will nominate up to 30 kids for the Boys Nation program. We will interview them. The entire body will vote on them, and then we will pick the top six or eight off of that. We interview all of those boys, and we will select two to go back to Boys Nation, which is a 10-day program held in Washington, D.C., and it's very similar to that. And the same thing happens with Girl State. They elect two girls to Girls Nation.
That's awesome. Well, Larry, thanks so much for what you're doing for our kids and for our nation. I mean, the values of the American Legion and the things that you guys are supporting, just wonderful.
This program is very expensive to us in the American Legion. So if anyone's interested in donating, just call your local American Legion post. It costs us over $400 per child to send them to this program, and we'd like to have more sponsors and more people.
Can they
to
find you online and
look up American Legion under the thing, or American Legion ArizonaLegion.org.
ArizonaLegion.org.
And we'll have that on the website. So, George, thanks for helping out.
It was great to be here, as always.
And we'll see y'all next week on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together.
Some may come and some may go. He will surely pay his. When the one night left us, yes,